praised as he see Guru and Gauranga. Itai Gaur. Hare Krishna. Doesn't appear to. Is it on? No, yes, no. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna. Who remembers something from yesterday's class? Such a difficult question. I'll read the verse. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today? Although we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us? Are you leaving us? Are you leaving us today, although we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us? Little girl, you are very playful today and very affectionate.
My name is Krishna Jeevani.
Really? But I think, Brajmohan, if you move to the back a little bit, I think your friend will come with you, your younger sister. I guess she gets the point. Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. Are you leaving us today, though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us, now when all kings are at enmity with us? So Kunti Devi is expressing her complete dependence on Krishna, she and the Pandavas, and actually all devotees, Krishna is their life. And with Krishna, they have life. And without Krishna, they feel that their existence is meaningless. Sanyayate jagatsarvam govinda virahename. This is such a high state of love for Krishna. A reflection of this is that some of us have been in situations in our life where we've lost something that we consider very valuable. And instantaneously, we think that there's nothing left in my life. Our whole life seems empty. Do you know what, you know that experience? It's like your whole life is, your heart is gone, practically speaking. So if you take that experience and multiply it by an infinite amount, that feeling of loss, of emptiness, but immersed in love for Krishna, when that is the cause, then it causes actually rasa. When Krishna is in according to the Bhakti Samhita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, Krishna is the sthayi bhav. When love for Krishna is the sthayi bhav, bhava bhakti, when rati is in the heart, then all different experiences cause the blossoming of rasa, or loving of the sweetest loving ecstasies in relationship to Krishna, but it's based on love for Krishna. And then everything is ecstatic. And without love for Krishna, just dealing with the reflection of our spiritual relationship with Krishna, everything is empty. Empty of true depth, of true... practically speaking, it's just the modes of material nature interacting with itself, with the mind. There's no real experience for the soul in that. So this is, of course, a very deep topic. So Kunti Devi is expressing the great fear, and this is what her prayers have been about, and they will come to their conclusion in five more verses or so. But are you actually going to leave us? We're completely dependent on you. We're completely dependent on your mercy. We are completely dependent on your mercy for our protection. And look, all the kings of the world are now at enmity with us because we have won the battle. And now Yudhisthira is the Maharaj. He's the Samrat. He's the Emperor. And actually, your duties are all executed yourself. You're saying that you're leaving because you've been away from your capital city of Dwarka for so long, and you have so much to do. But this is all just your play because you're the Supreme Lord. So, the verse again: Oh my Lord, you have executed all duties yourself. That's the word, sva kriti, krite hita, Kritehita, kritehita. You have executed, are you jiha shashi, are you giving us up? Is it possible that you're giving up your intimate friends at this time? And here is the purport. We read the beginning already, but we'll read it again because Prabhupada's words are very powerful. The Pandavas, now consider that these words are Prabhupada speaking to you. They're not abstract, they're not just vague, but they're instructions from Prabhupada to you, his commentary on Kunti Devi's prayers to Krishna. So here is what Prabhupada said here. The Pandavas are most fortunate because with all good luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. They experienced themselves as completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Everyone is at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, dependent on the Lord. But in illusion, we turn our back from that relationship, even though it is there. So if we face the sun, we're aware of our relationship to the sun, but if we turn our back on the sun is still shining on us, but the sun is not in our vision, but it doesn't mean the sun isn't there. So everyone at all times is dependent on the mercy of the Lord completely. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relationship with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. The material disease, the essence of our material existence, the root of our material life, the cause of our being in the material world, our material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. When we turn our back on Krishna and we no longer depend on Krishna consciously, we want to become independent of everything. Now, this is what, as Prabhupada's going to explain, that this is modern science. They want to do this consciously. They talk about exploiting material nature, don't they? Did you ever hear that expression, exploiting material nature, exploiting the laws of nature, exploiting nature? Has anyone heard that? They talk about, yeah. They want to exploit it for their own purpose, and they create havoc in this way. Now, if someone ever asks you, have you ever heard that term before? You cannot say, I'd never heard it before.
Yes.
You ever heard exploiting the natural resources?
Yes,
exploit. Would you like to be exploited?
No.
Well, how do you think the natural resources feel? They don't like it either. Because if you say natural resources, what does that mean? What do they mean when they say natural resources? What does it mean? Yes.
They're already found. They're not made by humans.
Yeah, that nature made them, and they're there, right?
Yeah.
But then you ask, whose nature? Like if we say, oh, Raj has a particular kind of nature. So it's your nature that we're talking about. So whose nature are the resources?
Krishna.
It comes from Krishna's nature. So they're exploiting Krishna's nature, exploiting Krishna. Something like that. We've used a little word jugglery too. But it's true. Because it's Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna. Sambandha yukta varagya uchate. Mohan, where have you been? They're waiting for you. We started without you because you're a little late because of the rain. But don't worry. So this exactly is the problem. We want to be independent so we can exploit the world. This is specifically what traps us. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti janiha karanam guna sangha. Because of this desire to exploit and enjoy the material resources, Krishna's material energy, and thinking of it as ours, we become entangled, entrapped. Karanam guna sangha sadasat into so many difficult circumstances, one birth after the birth. Just imagine how you, if we experienced ourselves as eternal souls, having cycled through countless bodies, how this is the basic philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, how differently we would live our lives. That was actually a foundational reality, that we're eternal souls, part and parcel of Krishna, mama vangso jiva loke niva bhuta sanatana. How differently we would live our life. So the material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But that's ludicrous. What does ludicrous mean?
Ridiculous.
Excuse me?
Crazy,
ridiculous, foolish, absurd.
Impossible.
All those words in one become ludicrous. How can we become independent of everything? What will we do for air? How will we make our heart beat? But the cruel material nature does not allow us to become independent. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent, strict laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. This is the attempt. We will conquer everything. We will conquer the air. We will conquer the moon. We will conquer disease. We will conquer this problem. We will conquer the weather problem. We will conquer this and conquer that. But the result is of that attempt to conquer everything is we become entangled in the complexity of material existence, and suffering actually increases. The whole material world is moving on this false attempt of becoming independent of the laws of nature. And this was one of Srila Prabhupada's major preaching attempts, is to show that we should live in harmony with material nature. Simple living and high thinking. Live in a natural way, in harmony with the laws of nature. And instead of trying to oppose nature, but it's going in a particular way, it acts in a particular way, and live in harmony with it, and your life will be more peaceful. It'll be nourishing, because you're living in harmony with reality. And the discord is that we're living disharmoniously with reality. And if there's a struggle between reality and illusion, what wins? What do you think? If you're not sure, we can make a scientific experiment of it. That you should imagine that this wall is made out of air. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. It's illusion, but you can imagine that. And reality is that it's hard, it's stone.
Yeah. Right?
And then you go in from the back and put your head down and run as fast as you can and see what happens.
Maybe we'll have something else try that. Not me.
Yes, because you're intelligent and you know that if there's a struggle between illusion and reality, what wins?
Reality.
What percentage of the time?
100.
Yes. So Prabhupada is saying so strongly here that we cannot become independent and control and exploit the material nature. Rather, we suffer. Beginning from Ravan, who wanted to prepare a direct staircase to the planets of heaven down to the present age, they're trying to overcome the laws of nature. They're trying now to approach distant planetary systems by electronic mechanical power. But the highest goal of human civilization, what do you think Prabhupada's going to say? The highest goal of human civilization, what do you think he's going to say?
I have a question.
Oh, very good.
Is it good?
Wait, but I didn't say you could. Maybe just wait a little while, okay? Because I had a question first. So your question has to come second.
I want to ask your question. I need to know what the answer is to my question.
Oh, you won. Okay, what's your question?
What's the next word? Is it should be or is it is?
Is.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
To get money?
The highest goal of human civilization is to get money.
No.
Enjoyment.
Yeah, we're getting further and further away.
Oh.
You can do better than that. No, the actual goal, not what people are thinking nowadays, but what's the highest actual goal of human civilization? I know what you're thinking. No exams. Schools with no exams and all the water fountains they have. They have soft drinks. But that's not what Prabhupada is going to say. Now listen to this, it's very interesting. But the highest goal of human civilization is to work hard under the guidance of the Lord and become completely dependent on him. The highest achievement of perfect civilization is to work with valor, but at the same time, depend completely on the Lord. What does valor mean? Yes?
Courage.
Courage. To work hard with courage, with valor, but completely depend on the Lord. The Pandavas, because what Prabhupada is speaking against here, he's speaking for dependence on the Lord, but he's speaking against the misconception, the wrong idea, that dependence of the Lord means you're going becoming a devotee. A dependent devotee means you're going to be very lazy and not do anything. That's specifically what he's speaking against. Like, I'm dependent on Krishna, so I won't do any work and the food will just come. And then maybe I don't even have to open my mouth, because that would be show that I'm not dependent on Krishna. We have to work. Work hard, Prabhupada said, but depend completely on the Lord. And who is the example of that? Prabhupada speaks of that next. The Pandavas were the ideal executors of this standard of civilization. Undoubtedly, they were completely dependent on the goodwill of Lord Sri Krishna, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. What is a parasite? All those who work in hospitals know what parasites are.
Nuisance.
Huh?
Nuisance.
Yeah, but what is it? Parasite, yes.
Something that infects and kills?
It's something, yes, it doesn't give anything, but it just sucks the energy of another. Like there are certain parasitic bugs or even parasitic plants that there's some on this property, even these vines that grow onto trees, and they just... They suck out the vital energy of the tree, and that is their strength. They don't add anything, they just take the energy of another. So devotees, like the Pandavas, they were completely dependent, but they were not idle parasites of the Lord. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activities. So this is the qualification. Two things Prabhupada mentioned there. Not parasitic, not taking energy, but by hard work, and what was the other thing? They were ideal. What was the other thing that Prabhupada mentioned? Yes.
Completely dependent.
Yes, they were completely dependent. And in that, they had two things. They worked hard and ideal
character.
They had, what's another word for character? What does it mean to have ideal character?
Good personality traits.
Yes, good behavior, integrity. So both. They had both. They were such exemplary human beings. So from the point of view of an ordinary human being, they were the best of human beings. And they were working hard, and they had ideal character. But from the point of view of Bhagavad Gita, they were the ideal devotees too, because while working hard and with ideal character and morality, acting properly, always... And they were completely dependent on Krishna while doing that. They were all highly qualified, both by personal character and by physical activity. Still, they always looked for the mercy of the Lord, because they knew that every living being is dependent by constitutional position. The perfection of life is therefore to become dependent on the will of the Lord instead of becoming falsely independent in the material world. Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without any guardian, or orphan, or prophet, without any guardian. Whereas sanatta, or those who have someone to protect them, and those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanatta, or those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanatta so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. What does that mean? I'll read that sentence again. By the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. What does that mean? Who can say that in their own words? Yes.
Due to the conditioning of material nature, we forget that that this material world is not a comfortable place.
Like a
moth into the fire, that the fire is going to burn.
The fire is going to burn. And what causes that attraction is Krishna's Maya, illusion. We try to exploit the material energy, we try to control the material nature, and the result is the same for everyone. And that result, when we're very, very young, we really shouldn't think like this in one sense, unless we're very, very advanced, because we have to go out in the world and we have to live our life. But when one is older or more mature, one's life, or at least the second half of one's life, one should balance that idealism of I'm going to go out and with the practical reality that everything I do is temporary, and in the end the body is going to turn back into dust or ashes or something. And what will I have gained in life? What will I have gained if I accumulate 1 billion, a billion times a trillion? Brother Rohan, what's a billion times a trillion? Okay. It's so much. But even if I accumulate so much and then I pass away from this world, I leave my body and I don't know where I'm going, what have I gained? I become even very famous and then I pass away and don't know where the soul is going. What have I gained? There was once one of the most famous American movie stars, lady who was very, very, very famous and an excellent actress. And then she lived into her 90s. And when she saw a movie of herself as a young girl, not a young girl, but a lady so excellently playing some part, she said, "Where has that talented young girl gone? Where has that talented young girl gone?" When we're old, we look at photographs perhaps of ourselves when we were young and we think, where is that young boy gone, that young man gone? Now old and this hurts and this hurts and this hurts. And what have I gained? So we want to gain with life that which will eternally stay with us. And that is our relationship with Krishna, awakening that relationship with Krishna. If we gain that, we've really gained something. And if we don't gain that, what have we gained, actually? But yet, work hard and with character and depend on Krishna. And that is what surrender is. Sharanagati is gocchate varanam tata. And when we completely depend on Krishna, serve him and think I am yours, then naturally I am your servant, Krishna. How can I please you? And I'm dependent on you. Naturally we feel ourselves under Krishna's protection. Do you have a question?
Me?
Yeah, me. I mean you.
No.
No. Okay. I don't either. Naturally we feel ourselves under Krishna's protection when we depend on him, because we have no one else. So then the question comes to mind, if I completely depend on him, will he really protect me and take care of me? And when we can answer that question, yes, that is called Shraddha, Vishwasa, faith. And how do we get that? Not that we don't work hard, not that but that dependence on Krishna, and the example again is the Pandavas. But how do we get that faith? That trust that Krishna is actually going to care for us. I am Krishna's, and he's actually going to care for me. How can I serve you, Krishna? Because if I'm not thinking, how can I serve you, Krishna, and I'm dependent on you, I'm going to be thinking of, well, if Krishna's not going to take care of me, if no one's going to take care of me, I know who has to take care of me. It's me who has to take care of me. And if I'm not going to trust Krishna, who am I going to trust? I'm going to trust me, which means my mind. And who has proved itself more untrustworthy than my mind? And I'm still going to have to... And that we know. When we're a little older, we know. But how do we get this deep, deep, deep faith that in fact Krishna is going to take care of me? And that I'm Krishna's? By hearing Shastra and the association of devotees. That's always what the recommendation is. Anyone else want to say? Yes?
And serving great personalities like yourself.
Like yourself.
And great Baba Bhagavatas, devotees, the Vasai Bhagavatam.
By serving, yeah.
By serving them.
Yes. Yes.
Associating with devotees who have faith.
Yeah, associating with those more advanced than us. What else? By serving, yeah?
Being absorbed in our service.
Yeah. How does that give you faith?
I mean, one of your...
I'm talking... not theoretically.
Because when we get absorbed...
I'd like this question answered practically. Where does this come from? What is this trust in Krishna? Prabhupada has defined faith means unflinching trust in something something sublime. Yes? Isn't that wonderful? Sublime means wonderful. Where does this come from? It's the greatest of gifts. Yes?
From Krishna.
From Krishna, yeah. From serving. I was thinking that when... If you tried... There's a famous story of one of Sripad Ramanujacharya's disciples who said, how can I develop faith in Krishna? I think I may have mentioned this one several weeks ago. And he said, Ramanujacharya replied, go south. Did I mention this?
No.
I mean, how can I develop faith in Krishna? He said, go south. But he already had so much faith in his guru. That's okay. So then he left. Immediately, he started going south. And that night, it became dark. And of course, there were so many tigers. Big ones, ferocious. No, but sometime it became dark. And then he thought, why don't I just walked south. Where will I stay? And then someone said, oh, you need some place to stay? You stay over here. You stay here. You want some milk? You want some food? Here, some, take some. And then he walked south. Just kept going. And every day he found just... there was a place for him to stay, there was enough for him to eat. And then after a week he came back. He said, now I have faith. Because he saw that Krishna was providing him, protecting him. And I'll ask this question to Amyatmapu directly, because this is what I was thinking in answer to this question. Say if you distribute books, and when you're distributing books, you don't know what's going to happen, really. You knock on a door, you don't know if someone's going to throw a bucket of water at you, or you don't know, or you open the door and a big tiger is inside. You don't know what's going to happen on one level. But and then sometimes you're in one mood, and sometimes you're in another mood. But when you try to do a service just for the pleasure of Krishna, do you find that Krishna sort of takes a little special care? I mean, this is asking personal, private questions, but sometimes, yeah. And you're depending on him. So,
Some kind of reciprocation is always there, where you can feel Krishna's hand.
You can feel Krishna's hand.
Yeah.
Where do you feel it? On your head, or on your shoulder, on your heart?
Through the exchanges for the people.
Yeah. You feel that Krishna, it's not you only exchanging with the people, but there's a third party involved, and that's Krishna. So when we try to do this service or any service, and we actually try to do it for Krishna's pleasure and And sometimes everything is working really well, and you know your intelligence is sharp, and everyone's cooperative. And then sometimes you go and do something like that, and nothing's there, and you can't do anything. And especially then you depend on Krishna, and you have to pray to Krishna to help you. So not only the same principles are there with every servant: work hard, act properly, and depend fully on Krishna. And then we find that in every service, in every circumstance, that Krishna's presence, Krishna makes himself known that he's there. Every service, because the service means service for Krishna. So we want to do a service, we want to be a servant. This is our natural position, to serve. So when we serve Krishna, he's there. And then someone says, how do you know? How do you know he's actually there? How do you know it's just not your mind or imagination just imagining and thinking? And the mind will even ask you that question. And how do you know? You don't have to prove it to anyone else, actually. That's why we use Shastra to prove. Use logic and Shastra, or Shastra and logic to prove to others. But when Krishna puts his hand on you, he touches you, you know. He does it in his own special way, and it's very personal and very intimate. Do you agree? Since we were, yeah. Vaishnavan, does Krishna take care of you? And you? No! Should have a talk to your father later. But I know. Sahasra is being humble. But the deluding power of the external material nature, by the deluding power of the external material nature, we forget that the material condition of life is the most undesirable perplexity. We cannot unentangle ourselves. And it's undesirable because it means death. And yet we are struggling to enjoy and enjoy and enjoy. And then one day it will happen to everyone. We have to leave. The Bhagavad Gita therefore directs us, 7:19, that after many, many births, one fortunate person becomes aware of the fact that Vasudeva is all in all, and that the best way of leading one's life is to surrender unto him completely. That is the sign of a Mahatma. All the members of the Pandava family were Mahatmas in household life. Mahatmas in household life. Although they were in household life, they were Mahatmas. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the head of these Mahatmas, and Queen Kunti Devi was the mother. The lessons of the Bhagavad Gita and all the Puranas, specifically the Bhagavata Purana, are therefore inevitably connected with the history of the Pandava Mahatmas. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. And that was the nature of the strength of their loving relationship with Krishna. As dependent as a fish is dependent on being in the water. What happens when a fish is no longer... Oh, yes, what happens when a fish is not in the water?
It dies.
Yeah. It flaps and flaps and flaps. Have you ever seen a fish outside of water?
On TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to the ocean a few weeks ago, and there was a young boy, just younger than you, but your age. And he was fishing on the rocks, and he caught a little fish, and he was so happy, and he was holding him up. And the little fish was flapping and flapping and flapping and flapping. And he was smiling. And I said, do you think he's enjoying that? But he couldn't understand, because he was enjoying it. For them, separation from the Lord was just like the separation of a fish from water. Intolerable. Srimati Kunti Devi, therefore, felt such separation like a thunderbolt. And the whole prayer of the queen is to try to persuade the Lord to stay with them. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, though the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. Very, very interesting. It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, that means surrounded by people who were not their well-wishers. The Pandavas were surrounded by people who weren't their well-wishers. And it is not only them, but all of us are always in such a condition. What does Prabhupada mean by that? Yes?
I didn't say anything, sorry.
I know, but I called on you anyway, because I know that you're... What does he mean by that? We're all surrounded by...
By people that do not like us.
They are not our well-wishers.
Is that your experience in life? Out there in the world?
Yeah, not from all people, but...
No, not from all people.
Not, but yes, from few, but yes.
There's a story about that. That this one man had enmity with his neighbor. You know the story? You know the story?
No.
Should I tell it? Because
yes,
Jimmy knows it. But Jimmy knows it.
Yes.
Jimmy probably knows it.
I know.
And so he prayed and prayed and prayed to some genie or jinn or something.
I think Lord Shiva.
No, that depends on what culture you hear the story from. That you get... And he got a benediction that whatever he wanted, asked for, he would get. But conditions applied. And that was that whatever he got, his neighbor, who he was envious of, would get twice as much. So immediately he asked for one Rolls Royce car and a big, big garage to put it in. And there it was. And then he looked and he saw his neighbor had two Rolls Royces and two garages. And he thought, wait a second, this didn't work out the way I want. I want a new house and it should be filled, five-story high house, and it should be filled with gold. Suddenly, pop! And it was a five-story house and it was filled with gold. And then he went... and he saw that his neighbor had a 10-story house that was filled with gold. And he thought, this benediction I have is a curse. And he thought and thought and thought. He said, I know. He prayed, please let me lose one of my eyes. That is enmity. That is envy. After the Battle of Kurukshetra, though the inimical kings were killed, their sons and grandsons were still there to deal with the Pandavas. It is not only the Pandavas who are put into the condition of enmity, but all of us are always in such a condition. And the best way of living is to become completely dependent on the will of the Lord and thereby overcome all difficulties of material existence. It's the end of Srila Prabhupada's book. I'll read the next verse. Kevayam nama rupabhyam yadubhir sahapandava bhavato adarshanam yarhi rishikanam iveshitu. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our name and all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. She's begging Krishna not to leave. Could you please read it again? Yes. Yeah.
As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus,
who end
at once.
Very, very touching. This is her, like a fish out of water. Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's quite short. After I read it, I'm going to ask you what you remember. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well-established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhisthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may, therefore, invent by our advancement of material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary element may be. Yes, what do you remember? Raise your hand if you remember something. Raise your hand if you remember something. Raise your hand. Okay. Raise your hand if you don't remember anything. Raise your hand if you're not sure if you remember anything. The neutral position. Okay. Okay, I'm going to read it again. And all those who are not sure that they remember anything, at least remember one thing, okay? The one thing is, or should I tell you what to remember? Okay, listen carefully. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. Do you remember that? Did you hear that one? Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhisthira, who is morality personified, and the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies, but without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, and fame without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Dependable object, the ultimate dependable object. He is the one who is dependable. We may therefore invent by our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources. But without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. Did you remember? Yes, do you remember? Well, did you remember? We'll start, okay, start this side and move this way. Yes, what do you remember?
That we shouldn't be proud.
Yes, thank you. What do you remember?
That I couldn't see you. Was sure that the Pandavas they were created or dependent on the Lord's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yes, very good.
Krishna is the most dependable object.
Yes. Very good.
Yudhisthira is morality personified.
Wow, yes. Anyone else? Raise your hand. I'm going to call everyone. Yes.
Without our senses, if not guided by the intelligence, then it seems like we are independent of Krishna.
Without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all the things that the Pandavas depended upon, that they depended on, such as the Yadus, are all non-entities, as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. Thank you. That was the one, yes? Because you have senses, you have a body, but without consciousness guiding them, they don't act properly. Without Krishna's guidance, no matter what we have, it's useless. Anyone else remember anything? I want to ask you. Yeah, why not? Do you remember anything?
I do, but I guess it's already said.
Say that again?
Without Krishna, Krishna is a dependable object, so without him, nothing exists.
Nothing exists, practically speaking. Krishna is the most dependable object. What does that mean?
That his wish is what happens, that if you depend on him,
Like, we depend on so many things in this world.
No, but they don't give you
this. But then ultimately turned out to be non-dependable. They let us down. But Krishna never lets us down. That's the most dependable of.
What I got off it was, even though we, you know, what we try as hard as in the material world with our senses, but we can't go anywhere without Krishna's mercy or his will.
So we should depend on him. So what's the difference between depending on Krishna for what I want, like Krishna, I want him, only, okay, I want one big house, only half filled with gold, it's okay, and my neighbor, he can have what he wants. Okay, Krishna, I'm depending on you. So is that what's being talked about?
No. It's you'd work at your best, and whatever you depend on Krishna on what he wants to give us in return.
Yes. And where does the point that we're servants of Krishna fit into this?
We're doing everything for his pleasure.
We want to be in that consciousness. Yeah, like Krishna, let me please you. Let me please you. And then I try my best to please you. And here I am, one individual who has a particular capacity. Let me use who I am as best as I can in your service. And I am dependent on you. But we have to put in our attempt, that our attempt is to serve Krishna and act in such a way that Krishna is pleased. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, I can't remember if it was God or Jesus. Jesus or God wants you to be happy, and there were dollar signs everywhere. That's a different philosophy than the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. And you should depend, meaning you should depend on God, and He'll make you wealthy. But that's not what's being spoken of. What's being spoken of is something countless and countless times more wonderful than material wealth that we have to leave behind for any material situation. Would you like to say what you remember? Yeah.
It's a very good one. Kuntidevi knows that without Krishna, there's pretty much nothing.
There's nothing in it. How much depth of relationship? Yeah, if you don't mind.
We can only depend on him.
What do you mean?
He's the only person we can depend on.
Fully.
Fully.
What does that mean?
I mean, we can work hard, but for his pleasure. But if it's for us, then it's totally material.
Yes. What does it mean that Krishna's the only one who's fully dependable? Yes, okay.
I think Kunti Devi is making a statement here for whole cosmos, practically. Because everything in cosmos rests on dharma. And a personification of dharma, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he himself thinks himself nothing. And she made up a point that the consciousness without the body, as soon as they heard, Pandavas heard, that Krishna has basically departed, they become lifeless.
Yes.
They plan to leave. So meaning is that without Krishna, there's nothing there.
Yes.
He's the only one dependable. So yes. She's making statement for all of us, all cosmos, living being, that no matter who may be worshipping as any demigods, any great person, or any superstar, or whatever, parents, etc. She is making a statement that, no, in fact, Krishna is the only one person to be dependable for all. And, of course, his pure devotees, because they are actually tadiya, non-dependent from Krishna. You can depend on the pure devotees also, those who are sent person become like a fire, like associating with a fire, iron has become with a fire. And So she's making that statement, Krishna is no matter, one should not depend on anybody, one should in all circumstances depend only on Krishna, and that's it. She's making that statement.
Yeah, yes. I had two thoughts on that. One is that when we're depending on others, because we can't go through life, we depend on Krishna, but say you work in your job and you have to depend on the hospital's going to give you the money too. So you're depending on other people, you're depending on your son because he's such a good boy, he's going to take care of you. You're depending on someone for food who's going to cook for you. Does this mean that we do everything ourselves and just depend on Krishna? I don't think it doesn't mean that we don't have a relationship with anyone else, but it means that ultimately we're dependent on Krishna. That if Krishna wants to supply the food to this person, the food is going to come. If Krishna doesn't want to supply the food from this person, it's not going to come. And then also at the end of our life, all those intermediary dependent, the things that we're depending on as intermediates, if you know what I mean, the people who Krishna is working through, they're all going to be proved to be not there when it's time to leave the body. Even our most beloveds in this world, who care the most about us, who really are our well wishes, when it's time to leave this world, it's only, we're going to have to leave them behind too, and we have to put our consciousness on Krishna and depend fully on him. Yeah. But yeah, I like what you said pretty much.
And to that point, what you just mentioned, that the dependency, like we work in hospital, the things coming to us, media, yes. But Krishna says he is within everything, he's outside of everything, he's within us, and we are within him.
Yeah.
So this contradicts everything. Actually, Krishna is everything. Only consciousness, like Kunti Devi was saying, that the if you set your consciousness right, you'll see actually whoever is coming from Krishna himself actually. You make your consciousness clear. And if your consciousness cloudy, then you see this person and that person. In fact, it's actually Krishna. That's why Pandavas, although so many difficulty was coming to them, they were not at all buzzed or felt any uncomfortability, because they could see in that difficulty also this was actually Krishna's special care.
Yes, this is very exalted consciousness, yes.
To what purpose? I just remembered an example I read in the Leelamrit. Srila Prabhupada, when he was still in Kolkata and there was, I don't know which war was going on, there was a war going on, and he was at home with his wife, and he was, he had to hide under the table, and he told his wife that, why are you scared? These bombs and everything, they're still an energy of Krishna. They may not be the positive energy of Krishna, but they are still an energy of Krishna, so there's nothing to be afraid.
Yes. Yes. It was something like that. The story. But the story was actually he was being served breakfast and there were bombs falling and everyone was running for the bomb shelter. And Prabhupada said he was thinking, these bombs are also the part of the universal form of Krishna. But then let me finish my breakfast. But it is not a very pleasant form of Krishna. That's how I remember it. But yes. I guess the point that I wanted to make, that was a little bit different from the point you're making, not to say that yours isn't true, but let's say if a devotee is doing some service, and he's doing some service, and he's doing some service to help you. So if we only thank Krishna and don't see the sincerity of the devotee who's acting as an intermediary and only thank Krishna and ignore the devotee who's because of his sincerity Krishna's mercy is coming through to you, and it's Krishna for sure, but it's also the devotee, like Prabhupada came to the West, and he underwent actually so much austerity to do that. But if we just see Krishna without seeing this incredible person who was so desirous of serving that it came like that, that also doesn't seem to be 100% the proper mood.
Yeah, importance of Ganga is because Ganga comes from lotus feet of Krishna.
Yeah.
So in connection, it is very good. As soon as you, your mind
separate,
is
separate,
it's then it's mundane.
Yeah.
So many people worship their guru, and guru is everything, then they forget Krishna. That's not in a line.
Yes.
It should be
And it shouldn't be worshipping Krishna and forget the guru. So there's a Cynthia made a made.
Kunti makes a statement, I think I heard from you, and I'm reading your book and the Lotus Feet. Because I have to make preparation for the classes, and there I studied. Must be able to see the connection at all times. When you connect with Krishna, everything has a life.
Yes.
And you see disconnection at all, you forget Krishna and the parampara, the parampara that are recognized by Krishna, then it is fruitless. That's simply going to go trouble us and trouble.
Yes, we should see everything. We live in Krishna. Krishna's mercy, that's actually the vision of a devotee. Very exalted vision, very wonderful. But therefore a devotee can be free from anxiety living in this world because he's living in Krishna's mercy. But it's very exalted consciousness. Are you getting tired? A little bit? A little bit?
Yes.
Okay, I think I've already... Thank you very much. And Hare Krishna. And one little comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or maybe two. We and not others become happy seeing you, and we suffer on not seeing you. The time of our happiness has passed, and the time of our suffering has arrived. So heartfelt. So you desire to leave us today also by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, since you desire to go to Dwarka? But I have stayed many days. Now I must go to Dwarka. I have necessary work there. Please give your assent, your permission, your blessings. To this, Kunti answers, but you are the person whose necessary works are already accomplished. Your intentions fulfill themselves automatically. Svakriteyita. The Pandavas had created suffering for many kings by killing their fathers and relatives. We depend on you. Therefore, stay here and protect my sons. Krishna may say, but Bhima and Arjuna, your sons, are very powerful. This is by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. The king is Dharma personified, and the Yadus are your friends. You have no worries. To this, Kunti answers, who are we Pandavas, with the Yadus, having fame and ability without your presence? Similarly, without the presence of the jiva, the senses have no significance or power. We are nothing without you. We have no power. We have no ability. This is the mood of a devotee. Complete dependence and acknowledgement of that dependence. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We'll talk after. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.